Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Five obstetricians and gynecologists and doctors, including a former chairman of the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, have distanced themselves from comments made by some doctors, including Dr. Peter Boylan and Dr. Rona O'Mahony, in the abortion debate. Dr. Peter Boylan is the current chair, by the way, of the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Now, in their statement, they say they're horrified by the comments that have been made and insist the upcoming referendum is not and has never been about maternal healthcare. On the line to give us his thoughts, we have Dr. Eamon McGuinness, who, as I said, is former chair of the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. McGuinness, good morning and thank you for joining us on the programme.
Good morning, Wendy.
First of all, tell us a little bit about why you decided to come together and make this statement in the first place.
Well, this was provoked by a video that was produced by the Yes campaign, which initially I hadn't heard about, but it was drawn to my attention. I spoke to the five colleagues that signed the letter, and it was because of the comments by Dr. Rona O'Mahony for the Together for Yes campaign video, where she stated, and Peter Boyle, where she stated, in Ireland today, we play medical roulette with women's lives. And Peter Boylan, in the same video, where he claims that the Eighth Amendment makes it difficult for us to treat women with compassion and give them the proper care that they need. This is an extraordinary statement to be made by two, what I would consider two experienced and mature consultants in the specialty.
So let's talk about some of those claims then, the fact that what the video, and not just the video, Dr. McGuinness, but indeed what we've been seeing in various debates and discussions and media reporting and things like that, is that the Eighth Amendment compromises the care that doctors can give to women in pregnancy. What do you feel about that?
There's absolutely no restriction to the care that we can provide for women in pregnancy. If the woman's life is at risk, and this doesn't have to be imminent or immediate, then we can treat the patient irrespective of the outcome for the baby. If that results in the removal of the pregnant uterus with the baby in it, so be it. That's what has to happen. And there is no inhibition or restriction by the Eighth Amendment in this area.
What about discussions, and I think the line that Rona O'Mahony says in that video, and you mentioned it there, is medical roulette with women's lives. Why is there such a discrepancy, Dr. McGuinness, between how you feel about this issue and the other four doctors and how other doctors feel? There seems to be a stark opposition here.
Well, I haven't heard anybody use the term that she has used of medical roulette with women's lives. I haven't heard any doctor make that claim or make a statement like that.
So when you're kind of talking to colleagues, what do you feel the impression is surrounding some of the discussions in relation to the Eighth Amendment and the discussions that it has an impact on, as some doctors say, care and compassion for women in pregnancy?
I think we've always provided care and compassion. I think my colleagues would always agree with that. If you're in the specialty of obstetrics and gynecology, like many other medical specialties, and particularly in obstetrics and gynae, I think you are there to provide care, understanding, and carry the patient through what is often a difficult experience for them in life.
Dr. McGuinness, what about taking the discussion a little bit further? Because you've mentioned there just about the provisions made if there's a risk and it doesn't have to be immediate to the woman's life. But what about some of the discussions surrounding substantial health risks that might occur as a result of a pregnancy? Do you feel our hands tied there?
Yeah, no. I think anything is a clinical judgment at the time, Wendy. Any doctor that is confronted with a patient who is sick from whatever reason, I think you make a clinical decision and judgment as to what the immediate risk is and also what the long-term effects might be. And if we take, for example, the Wexford patient who featured recently in the media, suffered from pulmonary hypertension or right heart strain. In the UK, she would have been offered a termination on the basis of the long-term effects of a pregnancy with somebody with pulmonary hypertension. As it happened, she was reassured by her cardiologist, and I presume her obstetrician, and proceeded to have a normal assisted delivery. She had two previous children before that. So this is a patient, and again, you know, if you're working as an obstetrician and there are health issues, you very often have to call in other specialists to give you advice. We're there primarily as obstetricians. Some of us specialize in internal medicine, I accept that. But I, as an obstetrician, I was a generalized obstetrician and a generalized gynecologist. A lot of these are now become very specialized. Some of them are specialized in fetal medicine. Nevertheless, we do seek advice from other specialties and from other consultants, and we take their advice and we move. If a consultant outside of the specialty of obstetrics suggests to me or advises me that a termination is necessary, then I will carry the termination out, irrespective of the outcome for the baby.
Dr. McGuinness, what would you...
That's my duty.
Yeah.
I'm obliged by the medical council to do that.
What would you say, Dr. McGuinness, to women listening at the moment, perhaps some might be pregnant, who've been reading some of the stories and seeing these videos and things that we've been touching on this morning, who feel that their life might be put at risk because of the Eighth Amendment? What would you say to them?
Their life isn't put at risk by the Eighth Amendment. You know, we have a confidential inquiry into maternal death in this country. If there's any patient that previously has died as a result of the Eighth Amendment, these will be in these figures. They'll be there for everybody to see. There's no patient's death listed in any of those inquiries where the Eighth Amendment played any role in. And you're probably going to mention the Savita Hanabanavar case, or maybe you're not. But if you mention the Savita Hanabanavar case, this patient died of sepsis, and it was a misdiagnosed severity of the sepsis. And again, that's a clinical call. You have to make that clinical call. The people that were looking after Savita, unfortunately, didn't make the right clinical call. I have met none of my colleagues who would not have evacuated that uterus in those circumstances. And when you decide when it's imminent or not, incidentally, 25% of deaths in the UK are from sepsis. 25%, quarter of them from sepsis. So we don't know what the outcome would have been for Savita Hanabanavar if she had to have her uterus evacuated. She may or may not have survived. We'll never know that. But she had a very severe form of E. coli infection. That we do know. And she had ruptured membranes at 17 weeks. She was clearly going to miscarry anyway. The probability, she was very ill. She had rigors. The staff, both nursing and medical staff, did not recognize the signs and symptoms of the severity of her sepsis.
Dr. McGuinness, in terms of if the Eighth Amendment is removed from the Constitution, do you think it would have an impact on maternal care in this country for the better or for the worse?
It won't make any difference, Wendy, to the health, to the care of patients. Life will go on just as it did previously. It won't make any difference whatsoever. If the Eighth Amendment is retained, patients will get the maximum and excellent care that they've always got in the maternal health service in Ireland. We have an excellent record here. We have the lowest maternal mortality rate in the world in Ireland. So we've obviously been providing very good care. So health care for pregnant mothers is not interfered with under any circumstances by the Eighth Amendment. This is why we wrote this letter. We can't understand these comments by two very senior obstetricians. One is the master of a hospital, the other is a previous master of the hospital, and the chairman of the institute at the moment. The people who have signed this letter, five of us, have a lot of experience. Obstetrics hasn't changed very much, Wendy. It is still very much an art. Is referred to the BAO, the Bachelor of the Art of Obstetrics. The developments have become very much more sophisticated in ultrasound. That's the area that there's very little science in obstetrics. You still have to make diagnosis clinically. Obviously, you're assisted by blood tests and microbiology. These things do help, but it's still very much an art, and nothing has changed. And nothing will change if the Eighth Amendment is repealed. If the Eighth Amendment is retained.
Dr. Eamon McGuinness, just one final question to ask you. Just again, just for people who are listening to what you're saying today, but they've also listened to doctors who have a different opinion, you can understand that people absorbing this information and listening might stand back and say, well, I don't know who to listen to. Who do I believe on this?
Well, I can understand that, Wendy, and I think the public are a bit confused, and I think this is very unfortunate that they're confused, and that's why we wrote this letter. And we're five very senior people, and I'm not here to tell them who to listen to. I think if they read the comments on the letter we made, that we've written, then I think they make up their own minds about it. I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just saying that the Eighth Amendment does not interfere with the health care of pregnant patients. That area is absolutely sacrosanct, hasn't changed and won't change. The other issues are different.
Okay, well, it was interesting to get your thoughts on that statement. Dr. Eamon Guinness, thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Show this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.